went today. I wanted to do a daily, for at least while I'm here. So truthfully, I can do a daily as well. Make the 3-minute walk.
What do you live?
North of the
Wow.
Yeah. And we live right by the shore.
Best place to be, right near the shore.
Every English here is podcasted on JerusalemCast.com. We have almost 800 shares now.
Wow. Amazing.
And it's also podcasted under iTunes and the rest of Sharon.
All good, gentlemen. So mikveh, the first thing about a mikveh, mikvehs are very important for people who have the ups and downs. Those of us who have a lot of challenges we have to overcome, mikveh is the best way. The very best way. Oh yeah. Very, very best way. Restarting. Hitting the restart button. Like the computer gets jammed, and just sort of, oh, and again, you know, I guess the fan's not working again. You hit the button, shut it off, turn it back on. Everything's fresh and new. It's the same old good.
Control Alt Delete.
Yeah, exactly. Precisely. Deal with it. It's goodbye. And that's exactly the way it needs to be. I don't pretend to know what you're talking about, but I'm sure it's a way of shutting it or restarting it or something. But you know, computers, I don't. But I know you hit the button and it works. That I know. That much I know. Because I have a PhD, as one friend put it, push here, dummy. That I can do. That's my PhD. I have said it. Thing goes, you know.
Actually, you have to be careful with that. You have to let it completely cool down. Because you could burn out your hard drives and also power supply.
Like I did. I had just a pile of books. I was translating Shurim. These deep, long, beautiful Shurim, which I love. Translating, just kind of bliss. Listen to music sometimes or not. And then one day, the computer just died. So we had to talk to a real tech who knew his stuff. He got it back out to work. And then it, like, melted. So we brought it in. The guy's like, you know, this thing is a lot of air. It looks like it burned. Like, the thing, you got to leave the fans. Oh, you do? I didn't know. Like, piles of books. It's like, no, the fans do nothing. The other thing is a big processor. It's goodbye, your riddance. We replace whatever. It sort of works. So, internet card died, which is the perfect computer to work on, Baruch Hashem, and then you have a few other problems, but Baruch Hashem, it's still going. So I almost did it exactly what you said. I managed to total computer, a pretty good computer. Exactly. Perfect. Baruch Hashem. And so, yeah, when it's time to restart, you need to restart, that's what the mikvah is about. The Torah is also compared to mikvah. As I said yesterday, the mikvah, part of the mikvah is that there was water before there was anything. So when you go in the mikvah, you're reconnecting to the matter that was the closest to before creation. So it's a very, very high thing. It's a big purification. But, Torah is also a b'chin of a mikvah. Torah is also a b'chin of a mikvah. So you reimburse yourself in Torah. It also has the power to just completely change them around for the better. We have to learn not to give up. That's really the story of Rabbi Akiva, right? Rabbi Akiva is a big part of Sfiras HaOmer. It's Rabbi Akiva. I was saying yesterday, Rabbi Akiva gave smicha to Rashbi during this time, Amai Gomer, and the other four great students, labor students. So Rabbi Akiva is the Sfiras HaOmer, we have big lessons from Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, you know, the famous story, he saw the rock, the water is dripping. He said, if the water dripping can penetrate a rock and bore through a rock and make a hole, it can penetrate my heart. Rabbi Sosan Lanter says, if you look at Avatar of Nassim, it says, Rabbi Akiva saw the rock and decided to go back to learning. Sounds like there is another dimension going on, like he literally had to go back to Alt Base. I guess he forgot everything. But it sounds like he was learning at one point. And Rabbi Sosan Lanter says, you know, Rabbi Akiva, that was his problem. He would learn. And he said, this is supposed to change me. I don't see any change. So if I don't see any change, it's not making an effect. So then I may as well be a shepherd. Like, that's not the point. I want to learn and get somewhere. I'm not doing it right or not. So then it's not for me. It doesn't work for me. Eventually, when he saw that rock, He said, but maybe it was changing me. I just didn't see the change. Because the thing perhaps that's least discernible, one of the least discernible changes in the world is the water dripping on rock. I mean, you don't see anything at all. As a matter of fact, if we had two rocks together, I said, one rock, you had water dripping 1,000 times. Another rock, no water. I don't even know if anyone can tell the difference. Even tell 1,000 drops makes no discernible trace, perhaps. Well, maybe it's more or less, I don't know. But at a certain point, he said, no, it's still boisterous. It's the same thing with the Torah. You have to take a certain amount and say, I do this, this is my learning. This amount of that, maybe a certain time to learn, whatever it may be. So I'm going to do that no matter what. He said, that's going to bring you back everywhere, bring everything you need, whatever you need, whatever you require, you're going to get through that, through the Torah. That's the power of the Torah. The Torah is power. So we came to Nachman. He said, I have a problem. I want to do tshuva. How do I do it? I'm really in trouble. I mean, what am I supposed to do about this problem? He said, learn. I said, I know how to learn. He said, now you need a daven to be able to learn. He said, I'm going to give it to you. You'll get it. That's what the Heidegger.
Rav Arosh said, it's the same thing with his Bodhidiv. You need to spend half an hour on a subject every single day and work on it and work on it and work on it and work on it and work on it. And not just 5 minutes, but half an hour.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely true. There's so many. There's even more than me. He told one of his big students, he said, start talking to your limbs. Talk to your hand, talk to your feet. So after he was doing this for a while, he went to Rav and said, Rebbe, it's not doing anything. Zero. No trace. Nothing. He said, no, you just keep it up. Eventually, he was so completely connected through this, what he was doing, that he couldn't speak too strongly or his heart would feel faint. He had to be careful not to overdo it. His body was so attuned to Hashem, to look at this very high level to be at, really be totally connected. So I was saying before, mikveh, that's a restart. Like, just hit the restart, start again, re-begin. As if nothing happened, as if everything was the same. And on the contrary, using the Rida for Aliyah, that's what we're trying. We're learning to learn how to use the Rida for Aliyah. I want to use the descent for an ascent. There's some lost thing, that said, then he fell here, he fell there. Okay, so what? For Hashem, I'm going to use this to connect to Hashem more. That's what I'm going to do. And God forbid, I'm not going to search these things out. I don't know about you, but for me, I have a lot. I have enough things to work on just to happen. However hard I try to struggle, I still get all sorts of fun, sorts of fun reminders of how much I have to go until, God willing, be on the level that I want to be at. I see teachers and people holding in very high places, and I'm working on it. But Hashem, it's a lot better than it was. Thank you, Hashem. So we have to learn to restart. We have to learn to begin again, no matter what. That's really what we need to learn. We need to learn skills. This is still being an expert at going up and going down. Wherever I am, I'm still with Hashem. And if I fell, that's okay. It's not to be expected, and it's not going to move me in the slightest amount. I don't care. No matter what. It just doesn't make a difference. That's really what the ultimate lesson that Napa is trying to teach us is, don't let anything move you. Nothing. Nothing should move. And if we see things are moving us, well, we're working on it, but we're not there yet. But it's the point where I don't care. And especially if I get my das back. I lost my das. Who knows what I did or where I fell. I don't know why you interrupted me. I don't know what happened. Never. And there's like many levels, right? There's the one level of totally going ballistic. There's no level of in the middle. You know, there's no level of like being mean. There's like lots of different great levels we can hit. One, the other, what exact level? Are we a 10 in terms of losing it? Do we get a 2? A better, right? A better grade? We lost a little bit. I don't know where exactly we got to. But in the end, we have to be in a place where whatever may happen, if I hit a 10 or more, when I get my dance back, I just start again. Don't let anything confuse me. Like, okay, I felt this. That's not a problem. That happens. Part of the human being. So maybe a human being. I'm trying. I'm going to keep trying. And eventually I'll get to a place where I used to fall is not my problem anymore. And that's what we see. People will keep hugging. If you're doing your half hour supposed to a day, you're doing your learning, you're trying, you're doing whatever you can do, whatever way you can do. And that's really what it comes down to. I'm doing my best. I'm very fond of saying, Rav Nosson is clearly in a place where he understands someone who says, I really can't do his bodhis. I just can't do it. I cannot do the bodhis. Even 2 words is good. That doesn't mean that's what should be our goal or our focus. That doesn't mean it's good enough to get you where you need to go. But we need to know that there is a time when a person is so completely it just doesn't have, I don't have words, I just can't. So we happen to be lucky, and this yeshiva actually, Rav Arush, gives a syllabus for doing this photos, even when you, as the order can't. So, well, you spend this much time doing this, and this much time doing that, this much time doing that. Many people find that even if they can't do the photos, that's only until you read Rav Arush. When you read Rav Arush, like, you know, you read his book, and you see what he says, and it's funny about this. He said, that was when I started doing this photos, and it worked for me. So then I learned about it, I heard about it, and it just didn't, I couldn't find myself in it. I tried, it didn't. He gives a course, and it worked for me, and that's wonderful. If that worked for you, that's great. But there are some people that he just so totally, he just can't, for whatever reason. He's got his problems. You got to do your best. But if we do our best, we'll get where we need to go. And that's really, again, that's the idea of the mikvah also. When the mikvah, you're purified, everything wiped clean. Then you have to restart, re-begin. Who was it? Tells Rosh Hashiva, that's one of the big, one of the, ask, no, Rav Yitzchak Kasher, so Rosh Hashiva, it's the Bakr, I think. He asked Rosh Hashiva, the Chiddush of Yeshiva, in Gur, they were in Europe together before the war, and he asked him, why does he go to the mikveh every day? Every day? How do you explain to him? So he said, you know, everyone knows that every kippah you go to the mikveh, because it's judgment. They want to, before judgment, you go to the mikveh. He said, the Gemara says that person's judged every day, so, you know. Then the mikvah. Try to connect in the right way to get the judgment, accept, receive it, and get through it properly. The Baal Shem Tov said, he said, of course, there's a yearly judgment. He said, but part of the judgment of every day is how we take the judgment. He said, he said a story of a water carrier. He said, there was once a water carrier who was schlepping water. He said, one day he was so upset. Oh, this is such a hard job. Kill myself to do this every day, all day. Look, a few pennies, schlep here, schlep there, in the hot, in the cold. It's so difficult. Well, something to ask him, how are you doing? That's what he got. Okay. Next day, saw him again. How are you doing? Oh, I'm so thankful. Thank you, Hashem. At least I have the strength to work. There's so many people on the dole. I can work and I can make just enough, just about enough for our parnasa. I'm healthy. I'm strong. I just keep going. I'm helping people. He totally, the same problem, and he just totally took it differently. And we have to try to be on the other side. We have to work on getting attitude, adjusting attitude so that I'm happy with who I am and where I am. I have to be happy.
Well, besides Yom Kippur, isn't there also a best in for every hour of the day?
Rav Nachman talks about that there's 24 redemptions. 24 redemptions. There are different, you have to know which court to go, but that means getting rid of a decree. It doesn't always mean every second there is whatever the second is, but it's not so clear that. The Gemara says this every day, there's a judgment, at least. And again, that's not the Baal Shem Tov. This is to say, depending on how you take your circumstances. How do I take my circumstances? I'd like things to be different. I have my own, I have my own script, and I have my own, I have my own plan. I have a plan. My plan doesn't seem to be happening. It just doesn't happen. You look at what's happening in life, our plan doesn't work out. You try it very often. Nope, try here, try this, try that. Nope, none of this. It's no fun. Things happen beyond our control, we start to realize how completely, totally not according to plan comes up. This is just not what I want, this is not what I need, and it doesn't matter what I want and what I need. It's what Hashem wants, what Hashem knows I really need. So that's what we experience. And again, the mikvah is the opposite of kaf. The minute you are emerging yourself completely with Hashem, it's all okay. No anger. What are you angry about? Why should I get angry? Hashem is angry. And if I'm being disturbed, this is from Hashem. I suppose somebody got to knock on the door. Police, please come with us. Your son, your daughter, your poor guy. I was like, you know, it's not him, it's Hashem. Alright, that doesn't mean that the young man, I don't know exactly, or the young woman should be, I don't know exactly, you should, throw money on them. I know exactly what you should buy with a car now. Thank you so much. If you're the issue for a share for coin, please call me here, take in a car. I don't think that's what you should do. If you have the money for it, I don't know if you have to give them for it. I don't know exactly what. You have to work out what to do. That's a different point. But it's from Hashem. It's not from, it's not this one. It's not that one. It's not the other one. It's from Hashem. That's Hashem did. So it's either make for a cause. Either it's hope, person's hoping for Hashem, looking for Hashem. The keeper or it's us. He's angry. He's frustrated. So frustrated. This is not what I wanted. I had a whole scenario worked out. Doesn't work. No. You can't have what you want. Doesn't work that way. Do your best. Doesn't work. Have ideas. Have thoughts. Do this way. Or that way. Do the other way. not the way you want it to be. And that's okay. You have to expect that. That's part of
that could break. That would break a person. That would break
what?
Somebody which you just described would turn somebody away.
What do you mean?
You know, this terrible thing happened in the world of the show, and that's what God planned.
Okay.
You've seen the opposite of that. If there's a God, why is he doing this? Sometimes it's to the people, the Jewish people, sometimes it's a personal thing.
Thank you very much for the hour. You're making a very important point. How can I explain it in a way that'll be good? Everything's from Hashem, and everything's good. We don't see how though. We have no idea. So there are two different things. On the one hand, I have to be happy and work on being accepting people with joy and trying to be happy no matter what. And appreciate the positive, focus on the positive. On the other hand, I also have to know that if I'm gonna sit in and say, well, I have my own, I plan something out, let's say, this is my blood bowling plan. This will happen, that will happen, that will happen. And it doesn't work out. So I have to, I have two choices, really. Choice number one is see how never plan, how terrible, that's really devastating. This is going on, this I want, this, this thing going on, that thing. For this reason is good, for that reason is good. So I can sit and feel very, very, and he would call it a misgave. You know, very, very, set upon. Look at me. Or I could just accept it. Say, okay, I shouldn't be here. I don't know why. I don't understand why. But those are the two choices. There's no other choice. So it's not. It doesn't mean that I understand it. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. I don't know what it means. I don't know what it is. But my the option of saying, why did Hashem do this? It's not the wise way to go because there's no answer. Sometimes I can understand the answer, and sometimes I can't. But there's no answer. I was once speaking with somebody who had a hard time with the Muna. He had questions. And he said, you know, if this, if that, so then how can I believe this, I can believe that? I said, well, Hashem is beyond your understanding. The questions don't go away. The question doesn't go away. It doesn't, a person totaled his car. So he believes in Hashem, he doesn't believe in Hashem. So he didn't hold his car? No. If he believes in Hashem, or he doesn't believe in Hashem, now he gets a refund. That's how it works. No, it's the same questions. Life is filled with questions. That's just the way Hashem made it. And that's what we need. Do we understand why? Can you explain to me why? Why didn't your plan work out? No, you cannot explain to me why. And sometimes it can be very difficult. You know, you can't explain to the guy why the thing's not going to go. It's not going to, I mean, you can try. It's not going to work. There's no, so we have to either accept things or be miserable. One or the other. So it's not, there's a different question, which is a very good question. What about all these difficult things that happen? So, I mean, the answer is a very easy one. I have no idea. It's very, very easy. Not a problem. But neither does anyone else. Well, I have no idea. I'm not going to pretend that, well, it happened because by happenstance, as if it makes things any better. It's not true. It's not happenstance. It happened because Hashem brought it about, because that's what I needed. And sometimes that can be extremely painful, and I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't know why. Don't know why. It really hurts. It's even more than that because there are. We'll see if we ever get there. We'll see what happens. But if you ever do learn about the Gulim and about reincarnation, and you find out that everything is calibrated to a very umpteenth degree, it's all worked out. It's not general. It's a specific thing that we don't even get. I think I told Nova, remember the Ramban sent the student who was very ill. He said, when you go up, you are very pure, time for you to leave the world. I'm going to give you certain names and tell you where to go, and you're going to ask questions for me because I don't understand what's going on. You know, we showed them before the Inquisition, it was a really hard time. Maybe not that much shortly before, but he was having a hard time. He was the Catholic authorities were really making trouble, and he debated them, he wiped them, he destroyed them, he beat them, he wiped them. He got permission. They got permission to publish the debate. So I want to publish it, but yeah, we'll have a public debate in front of the king. And he destroyed them. They had not one answer for him, and not one question. They couldn't answer very satisfyingly. And he published the debate like he said he would, and he was... They tried to arrest him and hopefully execute him for embarrassing the church, or something like that. Like, something ridiculous. But I was allowed... That was the whole agreement. No, how could you publish it? They went after him. I'm not sure the exact details of it, but said he had to run away, run for his life. So he had a very hard time. He was debating and working. He said, what's going on? We have it so hard, Jewish people. So this student, he said he was learning his room, and the sun was coming in through the window, and suddenly he saw his students there. He's awake. Yes? What exactly is going on? What's happening? He said, I did everything you said. They let me through, just like you said. But when I got to the place, you said I needed to ask the questions. All the questions were answered, just clearly answered. There was no question at all. It was the answers were self-evident. There's nothing to ask. But we don't get that. We're here. We don't understand it. And there are things we just don't... The things we don't understand. It's the story of Chazanish also. Chazanish, beautiful story. Chazanish, this person, you know, we've been in the Holocaust, and like making the Holocaust, said, why should I do this? I can't do this religious thing anymore. Maybe it was helped a little bit to keep saying the things. I don't know exactly. He was already totally not grown. He was activated in his job in Israel. He kept a nice house. You know, he was pretty well off, you know, as well, whatever he was doing. And he'd come every day. Fine, very nice. One day he comes home, goes to sleep, as usual, and he sees his father. His father said, listen, this lifestyle is not for you. Really, it's not. You can't stay in the world and not be connected to Hashem and Tachlis. It's not going to work for you. You're going to have to pick yourself up. I would suggest you go to this gentleman, this person in B'nai Brak, his name is Chazanish, or Rabbi Peretz. Go to him, talk to him, he'll help you find a way to chew, because you can't continue this way. He wakes up, that was an unpleasant dream. All right. Okay. Dream is a dream is a dream. Goes back to his office, comes back home, goes to bed. It's a little, you know, not a fun dream. Remember, it wasn't such a great dream. It was a little, had a bitter taste, but okay, goes back to bed. And he sees his father again, 5 minutes later. Like, it's, I told you to go to the... I told you. I'm telling you, you're not going to be able to live through this problem. You've got a problem. The way to answer the problem is one of two ways. If you die, or you become religious. It's up to you. But I'm telling you, as your father loves you, I suggest you become religious. You don't want to leave the world. You don't have to leave the world. And we have this longish conversation. He woke up and he's a little, really trembling. Whoa. It's no fun. He goes to work. Comes back to bed. I don't know exactly. Maybe he tried to read himself to sleep or stayed up late. Whatever he tried, went back to bed. His father's there again. And now he's angry. He said, I told you, you must go to the... You're going to have to become religious. It's not a joke. You have to go back to Torah. You know it's true. He gave him a big... Wakes up in the morning, and he's like miserable. He tells his co-worker, who's also very wealthy, this is what happened. Oh, you're working too hard. This is all... Come on, this is... Come to my house, take a siesta 2 weeks, relax a little, and it'll be good, and everything will be fine. Goes to this guy's house, he's a little afraid to go to sleep. Nothing. Goes to bed, 1 day, 2 weeks. Ah, he's just so relaxed. It's Machaya. It was all crazy. He must have been pressured from work. Finally, after 2 weeks, thank you so much, you saved my life. He drives up to his house, he opens the door, turns on the light, his father's sitting at the table. At the table. His father's dead for, I don't know, 30 years or something. He said, listen, I'm not joking, and this is not a dream, and this is not a joke, and this is not some kind of a light matter. Tomorrow, either you go to the first husband and you find your way to Chuba, or you die. So set up your will, it's up to you, and he disappeared. He's like, oh my gosh. So I'm going. He went. I'm going. So he went to bed. No dream. Wakes up in the morning. He gets in his car and drives. Finds his way to the Chazanish. Walks in the Chazanish. The minute he walks, he says, "Oh, your father's already by me. Please sit down." He sits down. The Chazanish says, "So tell me, what did you do to get this special intervention? I mean, people can go any way they want in this world. How did you get this special schus? Your father comes and tells you it's time for you to come back to Torah. What did you do?" I don't know, I get a little stuck. That's not going to do it. Maybe this, nah. Finally, he remembered during the war years, his father told him there, his nephew or his cousin had been shot in cold blood. It was 5 miles away or something. It was snowing. The Nazis, there was a curfew. He caught out. He was shot without any questions asked. Because you can't leave him there without Kevin Yisrael. You can't just leave someone to rot. Family, it's just impossible. So he said, okay, I'll go. So I went and I slept him to the Jewish cemetery and I buried him. The freezing cold, and I crept back in the house. Now that's what they did. The person does something he doesn't even know. We don't know. We don't understand. There's this bonus that you don't get, and that's saving his life. It's most unbelievable. It's hard to get We don't even begin to understand what. It's also Shalay, Shalay Gulim about certain mitzvahs. What is a certain mitzvah? A certain mitzvah that's with a lot of cheshek, with a lot of enthusiasm, with a lot of self sacrifice. And I can just do unbelievable things. Say this, the Marsha also. Unbelievable story. The Marsha, one time there was a person who was a big sinner in the community, and he was really doing terrible things. And I mean, in a time when everyone was Jewish, not like today, people don't know, everyone was religious, everyone was careful, and traditions were hundreds of years in the same time. Everyone, every family, everyone else from Derek was like, they were rejecting everyone and everything. He was just doing whatever he wanted. And it was a very big surprise. Okay. Dies, funeral. This young man comes to the funeral, he's very upset, this guy just didn't kosher with this and that. He knows better, he knew better, he was so upset, so he sat on the dead person. That's what he did. That night, he also gets a dream. It's a dead person, the sinner. He says, how dare you spit on me? I'm going to bring you up to Shamayim and teach you a lesson. And he also has long dreams. Next day, he has another dream, another dream. He's getting dreams, this guy's menacing him, and menacing him, he feels he's getting jittery. His family's afraid he'll have a nervous breakdown. And it's day after day, he can't sleep a second without this guy coming to haunt him. Nobody understands. He was a sinner. He was no big secret life here. Yeah, maybe he was helping people or not, but he was doing not good things. Finally, tell the Marsha, we're afraid he's going to just leave the world. He's so nervous. He's so sleep deprived. He's just not going to live. So the Marsha said, bring him into my house, and I'll take care of it. The thing in his house, he tells the caretaker, he's supposed to sleep, when this guy comes, he starts screaming, call me, I'm learning the room. So he started to scream, sure enough, Marsha comes in, stays in the room for a few minutes, not too long, comes out, the caretaker comes back in, this young man, the first time he's seen him sleeping deeply, fell already asleep, slept until the morning, no disturbances. Weird, family comes, no disturbance, he says, yeah, everything's fine, I took care of it. Take him home, everything's fine, he recovers slowly but surely, everything's okay. So they went to see the Rav of the town, the Marsha. They said, what happened? You understand? What? How could this Rasha have the right to persecute this Torah scholar? How do you have that power? It's very strange. He was a Rasha, he was. So that's what I asked him the minute I saw him. I saw the Shom. I said, how could you have the ability to be here? He said, I'll tell you what happened. He said there was this person who was he was drowning or something. I don't know exactly where he was going. I saved his life with a lot of self-sacrifice. I could have died. He said, I risked my life to save him. Maybe with his family too, I don't remember. And he said, over the years I supported him also. So I came up, no dirt, nothing. And I saw that he sat on me. The Leviathan person was there. There was no message there. I wanted to get him back. I saw I could do it. So the family said, so why did he stop persecuting? Why did he stop? He said, I explained to him what was really going on. I said, you have all these various, all these accusing angels in the same old place and they're dying to get you. So, but you did something that was so powerful and was against your nature and you wished your life, whatever it was, and according to the whole cheshbon, which we don't even begin to understand, it's very complex. This action enabled you personally to make a wall between you and all the excuses. They can't come to you. Because you saved this person's life. You saved a family, whatever it was, you saved them. So, but if you now use that to take a life of an innocent, goodbye wall, hello all these accusing angels. That's what they're trying to do to you. That's why you feel a desire to go after him. So he stopped. But we don't know. What does that mean? How do you... You can never calibrate what one action can be, what it means. Where is it going? How it can affect... We don't know. We just don't get it. We don't understand it. We know the general rule is, what I'm getting, I gave. That's 100%. I think my circumstance is unpleasant, because this one's making me trouble, and that one's making me trouble. I probably did the same thing to them or to others. And now it's time for me to try to fix what I did. Or cause it to be this way. So I'm trying to fix what I did. At the very least, I can bear it. Say, okay, no, thank you, Hashem. This is what you want. Okay, and I'm not in charge. And it's going to be what you want to be. What you want. But the other pathway, the pathway of saying, I want it to make sense, I want it to fit, is unfortunately the way to a lot of misery. There's like no other, there's a lot of misery there. There's no answer there, there's no resolution there, but just misery. And on the contrary, when it just works on thinking out that it's from Hashem, if I really worked on that, in whatever level I can. So there's a certain point where it's like, it's obvious. I say, okay, fine. Okay, thank you, Hashem. Please help me out here. At least something you realize is this is not... He just knows it's true. It's not... He understands. I don't understand. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? I don't know why. But I don't... Thank you. I accept it. Please help me further. Now, what's up? It can be very painful. It can even cry. It really hurts. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to go down the way of misery. Why should I do that? It just makes life worse. It doesn't do anything positive. It's not purifying. It's the opposite. Because it's got nothing to do with emunah. Emunah is something that's inside all of us. It's there. There's no way to, like Rebbe says, you can't denying emunah. I mean, the way it comes out, it's a parable, like a mushroom. It's like the Stoics. So we don't have a sense of meaning. I mean, you do. You could say you don't. You can work on it 24/7. You can do whatever you can. But a human being has a sense of meaning. It doesn't matter. It might be very buried. The person might not be able to laugh right now. But there is something inside that has a sense of humor. We have whatever we have compassion. Different mitos, the different characteristics that every human being has. And what is also one of those characteristics. So it doesn't make any sense to say, well, I don't have this. This stuff because of this, because of that. That's just the mind warping things. And not wanting to deal with the pain. I don't want pain. I don't like pain. We often, none of us like pain. Just say, I don't want to deal with it. No, thank you. This time I'm sort of closing the door. It just happened. It doesn't have any meaning. But that doesn't help. The Rambam calls someone who does that an achzar. He's cruel on himself. He's cruel to himself. It's just cruelty. Because why should I pretend that there's not a message? No, I don't understand the message. I don't get the message. I don't really. The person thinks he gets the message doesn't mean he gets it. And sometimes there are chesbonos which we don't begin to understand. the moral adds, he says, why is it that Chanina Bedosa, the whole world survived for him. And he had a little bit of carriage from Shabbos to Shabbos. He had one garment, he had to pick up his garment to rend his, rip and scratch his skin better than his clothes because he couldn't get another garment. And the whole world's living, surviving because of his merit. Well, you can't give him a house. You can't give him a little bit better food. Nothing. So the morale said, no, there's something that's called mazla. There's a mazla. And this, whatever it comes from a very high place, this source, I think this place comes from this, it's a spiritual source of how he can do the best he can in the world. And sometimes things are the way they are. And you can't move them. He's got to be this way, and that's it. So, but you can move them. It's hard to move them. That's why the Gemara says that a person who is rugged with a person who's careful with their banners of Shabbos and Hanukkah will have a son who's Tam Chacham. Now there are things that can stop that too, but that's one of the things that creates a son of Tam Chacham. The morale also, he asks there, he says, I don't understand, why can't I become a Tam Chacham if I'm careful with their Shabbos and Hanukkah? Why my son? He says, because sometimes a person, he might not have the model, might be very hard for him. Very difficult, it's not so easy for him. It's the most serious effort, which he might not be able to muster up. And Dari says, and this is not so PC in the yeshiva world, so please forgive me, but Dari says that not every person is cut out to be a Tam Chacham. Not every person, that's his ticket in the world. So the wagon driver might be supposed to be a wagon driver, not a Tam Chacham. He's not supposed to know the whole shot. Not his job. He finds he cannot really learn, he finds hard, he doesn't have the backing. That's not what he needs to do necessarily. Tam Chacham Kulam, we strive for what we can get it anyway, it's true, and there are people who... On the contrary, when you break through, and it's so hard, you break through, that's the highest level, that's wonderful, and you get higher than more than anybody else. My Sheikh, there's stories of people who just had no head, and they worked blood to blood until they got more than anybody. But you don't have to. So his children will have a child who will have the right kind of model, and will also become Tantra. So it's not, all these things are very, very... Complex is such the word doesn't begin to describe. Because we're talking about five levels of five levels. And each of those levels are connected somewhere. And all of those levels, what did he do and what did he bring? And then what does he have to overcome? And what things, for his advantage, can he help his friend who messed up? I'll do that instead of you because we're the same source in this next life. And what's he made up of? And then, how can he get through that job? And like I said, the Chofetz Chaim and the Leshem, it's like, so there's a person, he says, I have this problem and I hate it. And it makes me, it really makes me think, and yeah, it makes me more sensitive, and I hate it so much. And before he came to the world, he said, please, please, give me this problem. Maybe I'll be more sensitive and I won't be such a fool. He's begging, and he comes back, he's like, oh, what did you do this to me? What did you ask for? It. You want it. It helps you. It's going to help you. The reason why you're open spiritually is because of all the pain. I went through a lot of pain, so I'm able to get good things. If you don't go through pain, you don't have any way of getting anything. So you don't like the pain. Okay, you don't like the pain. You meet someone, he says, yeah, you know what? I thought I was going to die a lot. That is what I felt. And very miserable existence. But then the person's open up and he can make something of himself. He can get somewhere. He's open. He's that's the Zohar. You hit the stick and it becomes, it opens up. You move it around. It starts to take the fire, the aura, illumination. So without that, we can't get anywhere. We're just stymied. So we don't realize it. It's not, that's at the time. And again, it's very hard to be on this level. I'm not going to say I'm on this level. At the time, it's a certain young man who went to a shir date. Chofetz Chaim says, what do you think? He said, it's such poverty. So poor. So the Chofetz Chaim said, what other advantages did you see in the household? You know, it's like, we don't, for us, we're like, whoa, I don't know, I have to really be at a level to see that and understand that. But it's also true. He has to sit and be so picky and so careful and so who knows what, you know, what is he going to get from it? What is he going to achieve from it? What's he going to help him? It's just going to get in his way. You have to go out and do this. He wants to learn. He wants to learn very much. She wants to learn. She's not picky. They hopefully will figure things out. That was what the Chofetz Chaim was. That was what his chayim was. But it's we don't understand it. We don't get it. But nothing. He says, you know, a person. You know, we can't grasp that we're mortal. We don't understand it. See, people. It's almost like as if. It's almost as if. Pliny had death or had stuff to do and suddenly he leaves the world. He said, people are almost in a place where they say, what do you mean he died? So what? If the people build you, if they build you, like, who cares if he died? Like, people are so completely, totally divorced from the concept that we leave the world at one point. We just don't see it at all. We don't believe it. We don't understand it. It's from time also. He told the mashal of someone who he really wanted to learn, and here he is. He's working in a store, and he's getting older. So what's going to be with me? How am I going to pop this? This is something. So he told his wife, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I'll try. Maybe you'll open the store. She opens the store. He doesn't show up until 3 hours later. So, well, why? It was impossible. What are we going to do? I can't have this. I need to have you there. He said, listen. You can do it also in Baltimore, but I want to ask you a question, an honest question. If I were to die, what would you do then? You manage all day. He said, we're in the store 10 hours a day. I can be in the store 7 hours, but I have 3 hours as if I die. I'm dead. Zero, I'm dead. So I can't go to the store. So that's, I gotta make a Seder. I'm ready, I'm not too young, I gotta make a time, otherwise, what's gonna be with me? Sometimes, literally, sometimes thinking about a show, something. So that's really what it comes down to. First of all, when I'm gonna be in a place where why is it this way and why is it that way, it's not a good place to be in. Not a good place to be in. We don't because the answer in the bottom line in the end is gonna be I have no way. Sometimes we'll figure out later. And then we say, oh, that was such a blessing. Whoa, is that a blessing? Is it mess? Is it yofi? How wonderful. Hashem did this. How wonderful. And at the time we were, that is so horrible. That's impossible. That's so miserable. So this and so that. And it's just a bracha. It's just a chesed. Chesed alayhi from Hashem. It's all chesed alayhi from Hashem. And we don't understand it. We don't get it. A person who has a lot of pain, difficulty, suffering that way, suffering in the other way. And then it's things work out. It's unbelievable. That's it. Happened with us. We tried to build a porch in our house. We have a little house, right? We tried to build a porch. And it just didn't work. It was terrible. Maybe the whole mice, I don't even tell the mice, it's beyond beyond belief what happened. Everyone took whatever they took. We didn't have any porch, nothing. And we're like that for 15 years. No porch, every suitcase would go up and down, 2 flights of steps, but anything we need. Keep going away. Eventually, we built enough sign, so it was less, a little less, but also basically, and all the food, really, you need the bathroom, whatever you need, you're going up and down, 2 flights of steps. Baruch Hashem, we move now. Now we have a place for sukkah. Nice sukkah, Baruch Hashem. And maybe it was, you know, waiting, not making any trouble for anyone, not bothering anyone. Maybe it's part of it. Maybe that's part of what it's about. Do I know? I have no idea. I honestly don't know. I don't. I have no judgment. Suspect is possible. That part of things that Hashem took care of me, and just, you know, took care of us. We let go. And everyone had their schuyot. And everyone had their. We lost our schuyot. And everyone else got all the rights. We didn't have rights. Built the forge. Down on a whole mice. Very fun. And Baruch Hashem, that's it. Sometimes it doesn't, you don't even see it. Now, 15 years later, so maybe that's part of what it was about. Peshas mice, though, when they took my porch down, I cried. That's what I did. Take us some money, whatever it was. No porch, nothing garnished. Zero. After that, I realized it was a chesed, because if they put it all the way up, not only would I have lost $3,000, I would have lost another $3,000 or $6,000. Because when they take it down, you pay them to take it down. Well, while the guy's putting it up, so then it's possible if he took it down, he didn't charge him to take it down. He just removed the structure. So that was actually also a kindness. He could have gotten rid of it. It's much worse. If it wasn't worse, it's very, very difficult. You know, that's just the way, there's no other way. So, you know, I have the ability to make myself miserable already 15 years. I could just review all the grievances, which are good grievances, that was done against me, and how people ripped me off and took unfair advantage of me. But where would I be then? I'd just be miserable. It wouldn't change anything. There'd be a lot of hatred, there'd be a lot of fighting. For what? For nothing. For a few meters, for a porch this size, just a little bigger. Fight my whole life, 15 years, I can focus all of my energies instead of trying to learn, instead of trying to help people, whatever you try to do, trying to raise a family, everything can be about this thing. Why did you do this issue? And Hashem is like, it's such a stupid question. It's like you're like a 5-year-old. Why did Tati, why? What do you mean why? I guess that's the way it is. Why can't I break that? I want to break. So we have to understand a child, you know. Told my 5-year-old, the Gemara says, think about Yochanan, he bought vessels that were not so quality vessels so the child could break them. So we're going to bring you a cardboard boxes, and you're going to cut them up, break them, just the way you want. He's so happy. Ah, what? It's lit up. Yeah, I want to. So I forgot to bring the boxes. He started unpacking a little bit of our boxes and started breaking them. It was still full of boxes, breaking them, they're so happy. It's like we're like the 5-year-old. You don't understand. You don't get it. Okay, so I broke the towel rack when I took a bath. So I broke this, so I broke that. I broke the glass and I was running around with my wagon. So what? I needed space. I needed to move around. I have to move around. So you have to take the door off and find some brazier and bring it and fix it because it's cold at night. When the wind comes in, it's... That's not my problem. I don't understand any of these things. I just know I gotta move around. That's how we are. We're the same way. We don't understand why. We don't understand how. We don't get anything. We're just sitting here with why do you do this? We don't understand. Shalom is helpful because it gives you, we start to see just how exact we are. Wow. Exact. This is this, and this is this. All these Tanakh figures. This one. Because of this, and that. Because of this, that. Because of that. That becomes very, very easy to see. Say, wow, this is so... It's not, there's no surface picture at all. There's no surface picture. There's just stuff. There's the whole undercurrent you don't see. We don't get it. It's just like someone who's never heard of a car in his life. He goes, sits down, he thinks he's in the room. And someone turns the key and starts to turn to drive. He doesn't get it. He doesn't understand. There's a motor. He thinks it's sorcery. He thinks it's this. He's scared of his wits. He wants to run out. I mean, I don't know how he would come back from some island somewhere. It's not culture, never had any, doesn't have electricity or anything. What would he do? That's us. Same way. We just don't understand anything. So we understand to another. There's a motor. It's scientific. It's not sorcery. Nothing going in. Don't worry. It drives, you don't want to drive it. This is how you drive it. We don't understand. We just don't get it. But really, the way things are exactly the way they're supposed to be. There's no mistakes, there's no errors, there's no miscalculations. Even for yoga, no miscalculations. And even though the Gemara seems to say, like, what did you do wrong? You didn't do anything. Sutta was looking at Avraham Avinu, that's one Maharaj. Say, and Hashem said, don't go. Tell what about Eo? It's not like Eo. Ah, let me test him. Test him, just don't kill him. Don't kill him. And he went through, who knows what? Terrible difficulties. And then, even after Hashem, you maybe make a mistake on the address. You are such an ancestral family of Shemayim. You are such a real, real, real person. So real. Everything from Hashem. You knew that. But you can see, my whole life, I haven't done anything. Forget about deserving it. Deserve anything except praise. You were so careful. You were so careful with every person. You try to help them. You support people for no reason. You worked his head off to try to make life easier for orphans, for widows, everyone who could. In the time when paganism was around, people were only out for themselves. And he always thought of other people. And he was getting such terrible difficulties. And Hashem says, where were you when the world started? And you can come and say, what happened? Why has this happened to you? And we know what happened. Who was he? Yovio was Terach. Terach had a son who didn't want idolatry. He was a kofer, a heretic of idolatrous race. So Terach, from his own tradition, told on him, the king, and made a big deal out of it, until the king had it come, and he had tried to execute Avon, his own son. What would we do? I mean, the Chavadim of the Chas, a normal parent, he wouldn't kill his son because of his beliefs. Legally. You don't usually, I'll tell on you, and I'll say, you know, when we believe in the Torah, Hashem has certain desire that he wants, because that's how you fix the world, which you don't understand. You just know that's what he wants. That's the way it is. It's one thing. But what normal person would just, he doesn't believe, like, he's such a believer, as it were, he doesn't like what Avram's doing. He sticks him on the Nimrod on him? Who would do such a thing? It's hard to believe. And there are other things he did also. He went out of his way to break any kind of little bit of tradition they had. He didn't care about that neither. He was a problem. He had problems. Didn't do true. Not in the right way. So he came back. And that's, yeah, when you're a lahatzik like that, the way to fix it is, this is how you have to fix it. Again, there's more. But that's like the little to drop. So yeah, you have to figure fixing his attempt to kill his own son. Which caused his other son to die too. And getting in the way of Amunah just because this is not what I like. Even though it's, is it true, is it true? I don't care what's true. It's not what I'm like willing to kill even my own son. I mean, that's a big problem. That's a big gun. I want to die for it. Aram didn't. So, hi. That's the little bit I can say. And like that reason. That reason says, you know, generally speaking, when a person keeps Torah, it says usually things work pretty much kesed. That's the usual order of things. He said, and why not? We always say gibul. He said, just for whatever reasons they are. It's not by accident. It's usually just the way it works out. We're actually very, very lucky. We are very lucky because we used to have a much harder life than us. We can't believe how people used to live. We just can't even begin to fathom. And you said, modernize the way you wash clothing, which you had to, right, put them through the wringer. You had a wringer. That was a big time saver. Kill yourself to wash the clothing.
Oh, I
remember
that.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And the wringer, like, who cares about a wringer? You throw it in the wash, 20 minutes later it's done. And if your machine's slow, heaven for fan, and it takes 40 minutes? You're like, 40 minutes to wash it. What is this? Ridiculous. 40 minutes. I mean, come on. The dryer is so slow. 2 hours to dry. And it used to be people, they used to like, they couldn't live. They would do anything for 2 hours. I don't even care. They're little junky European machines. Anything. Don't make me sit there and watch. And that was way more with everything. Everything is so, we're so privileged. It's so easy. So in some ways, that's our challenge, I think. Our challenge is so privileged, so easy. Or it's just so hard to be a real person. Everything has to be given to me. Everything has to be carried to me. So I feel like, why should I? I don't have to develop myself. I don't have to go out there and do something. Well, you see, you have to really be strong to make it. So it's hard anyway. It's part of our test. We're a weaker.
I mean, there's still wells in Jerusalem.
Yes, there are.
Working wells?
As far as I know. There are wells, we're right next to an Arab village, and there are two wells there.
Where do you live?
Tel Aviv, Mizrach.
Oh, wow. We're so lucky. Turn on the tap, water, it's all good, it's so easy. If the water's cold, oh, what a cold bath! I should take a call, so totally we don't. To make a hot bath, you just have to put a little water in, you put it the dude used to be such a big deal when he took a bath. It was such a you couldn't go to the bathhouse before mincha because maybe this mincha.
Join me now, one final minute. Just you're there. Who does Winger have next to a chance? Of course, your companions. Ah, mincha, 5 hours you could sit there. Chavetz Chaim be'alacha. Listen, depends on what you say. If you're not there more than an hour or two, so your tzitzit, it says you lose your tzitzit, your bracha, but if you're not there for so long, I think it lasts like an hour or two, like, not a long time, like an hour or two, so then you don't lose the bracha. It's like, you lose the, it used to be such a wonderful delicate, what a, Shabbos go to the bathhouse was like the biggest, that's what the Chavetz Chaim used that as a mushroom. Let's see if I remember the mushroom. So this guy goes to the bathhouse. And he loves to be in the sauna. So he used to learn. He learned very well. His father took him for his son-in-law. They're very happy with him. After a few years of learning, he had to do a business. And this one time he had was Friday. He just got the sauna. That was it. He got that sauna. That was his Canadian mother. She loved it. Hot heat. And then he jumped in the mikvah. Deal with it. Has to be dealt with. Yeah, I remember what the mashal was about even too. Now I'm in the story. So here he is. He loves it. And then what happens? He collapses. Goes to the doctor. The doctor says, you're a very delicate condition now. If you're not going to the sauna, maybe the rest of your life. Very bad for you, that heat. You can't take it. Don't go anymore. So, what's he supposed to do? All right, he goes in to the sauna. He attempts his mikvah. He can't go, so he looks. He can't go in. Goes to the mikvah, goes out. Feels like he's missing something. Finally, after the third week, he can't wait anymore. He runs to the mikvah. He runs to the sauna. So he has about it. And then he said, 1 minute it won't hurt. After a minute, he collapses. Pull him out. He feels like he's going to die. And he wants to jump into the cold mikvah to maybe save his life. And that particular week, there's no cold mikvah. And he's about to expire. And this person comes with, so bring a bucket of water. No, I don't want the buckets. Either a mikvah or nothing. So would you understand this person? So the person says, no, I think it's crazy. It's saving your life. So this person, I asked him, was high, and he said, I can't learn, because we used to learn in depth. We used to learn for many hours, just learn properly. Now they learn, what, an hour's year, Gemara, quick, Dafayomi, fast. I want to learn it in depth. I want to really get it. So the Chassam uses it as a muscle, you know. If you can't get in that cold mikvah to save your life, you do anything. You use a bucket, use a cup, anything. Any little bit of Torah is life. It's like water, it's like life. You gotta jump in there, you gotta get it. So, you know, we're in this place where we are so, we live much better than a king did. Except maybe in power. But besides that, a king would switch with us in a minute. No problem. Who knows what they went through, who knows what they had. The child of a king didn't live much better than anybody else. Got sick just like anybody else. No matter medicine, no nothing. Who knows what they were doing? On the contrary, they're more sick than, also more privileged, more sick. Which is very, very lucky.
The biggest thing was, we now have sanitation. They didn't have back then.
That's a biggie.
And a big it's the sanitation that saved everyone's lives.
That's right. That's true. You're right. Sanitation is very, very, very good. And rarely did they have anything that was terribly useful. Rarely did they have anything. Only very privileged. Something, but not like what we have, and they didn't know to be careful anyway. They didn't know.
That was quite an answer.
Well, there. But that's big answer. We don't know anything, but we have one choice. What do I do? Miserable or not miserable? And it doesn't matter. The moon is not so much even a factor. Although, yeah, when you don't have a moon, you're miserable. You know, there are studies. The person with more moon is happier. But it's pushing. It's obvious. We all know it. We all feel it. We all see it. It's not something you have to. I have to tell you that if you drink cold water, you're gonna cool off. Yeah, I studied it. I asked people. We all know this. It's something which is it's just obvious. It's part of who we are. So we can't be without a moon. It doesn't work. It's just not. It's not. Again, I'm denying part of who I am. Doesn't you can do it? Sure, no problem. doesn't work. There's no meaning. It's not real. It's the person's not genuine enough. And that's not how you live with anything else. Unless he's a very, very strange, not well person. So, you live with the moon anyway. If it's with the moon to people, it doesn't matter. Because your capacity of moon, you work with people. And you have to find, what about the heart, which is the person every person's burning for. Every person wants. And you don't feel fulfilled without it. Without connecting to a deeper purpose, there's no fulfillment. Even if you're helping people, it's just something missing. Something integral missing. You have to find it. I feel for these people. There's a very popular book about Shemesh Moreno, death. And this person basically says it just happened when I was an accident. Feel better. It's all happenstance. That's his big answer. And Chabad, he was robbing people a lot. Being very cruel to them. He doesn't even know it himself. I feel bad for him. I feel bad for them. Is also the water, and this idea of the mikveh is a restart. I go in the mikveh, and I come out of the mikveh, I'm a different person, I don't have any problems, I don't care what happened until now. I turned out when I did it happen, it's very strong bed. So that I don't care what happened until now, I don't care. I don't care. Kill nothing. Because I know that if I care, I use the caring the wrong way, it's just going to also get my way. It's going to disable me. I'm not going to be disabled so fast. I'm just going to disable me. No, I don't want to be disabled. I want to serve Hashem. And then he's going to cloud. I don't care. Whatever happened, I don't care. I'm just going to do my best to start right now to search. But I did it. I was a 10. I was a 10, like a 10, bad 10. 10 of a loss, let's say. Even if I was. And eventually, if we work on ourselves, and we keep trying, we keep learning, we keep restarting. So we won't get to be 10s anymore. We'll be a 2 or 3. Come on, there's a lot of, used to be much worse. Now it's better, but it still has more problems. Okay, I'm going to keep learning, keep trying, keep being happy, keep working. So it's a restart. That's what it's supposed to be. Just re-begin. So
restart.
Mikvah and Torah also. Torah, Mikvah, restart. Just totally hit that button, it's all. Begin again, no problem. We'll see more later. These chambers, I don't want to go into the Ekiyaku right now. There's two different ways of. They have no meaning what they are, and there's two different ways of putting them. The only reason why I would go into them, I want very much to go into them, is because the Rebbe says, well, Tshuva should think about these chambers, and it'll help her. So when I saw that, I started doing it. I don't know how I'm doing it now. Lately, I pull one away somewhere. But it's not that hard. It's very, very, very pushing. It's like seven chambers. Two of them the same, I think, even. You think this, you think that. Doing the seven brachas before it's different shame. Very simple, nothing too hard. When we get to the brachas, we'll talk about it. It doesn't have to be now. So one of the commandments of this is the five yuds of these shamas. You have five yuds of these seven shamas. And you have the shamas themselves. Right, so you have 50. Plus 42 is the shamas themselves, so it comes out to be bimai. That's in the water, when you're in the water, that's what we're supposed to be focusing on. These 50, these five goods, and the 42 of the shamas itself, ekiyaku. We'll get there when the time comes. Yeah. It's ekiyaku 21, and yud kei vav is another 21. So that's 42. 5 units is 50, so you have 92, and that's a bit minor. So when you go up out of the water, then you have these 4 Havaris. And Tafaz again. Oh boy. Okay, fine. Yeah. So basically, we have again the same 7 shamas we said before, which is 4 shamas bias and 3 ekis. That's basically what we have, what we've been talking about. So 4 bias, you can okay, different ways to write, you can okay, there's 4 different ways, 3 different ways to write, okay, And what we're talking about now is becoming a cover to deep tshuva and to complete connection to Hashem. That's what we want to do. That's what a mikvah is. With these four, these seven shemas, it's not the echiyaka that we'll see later, but it's Hashem, but these seven shemas, the three times allocated K, Aleph not a pay is always the same. Yud is also, Yud of Dal, always the same. The question is the Hayes, how do you spell the Hayes? It's either Hey Yud, Hey Aleph, or Hey Hayes. So you have all those three. Then you have Yud Kiv of K, three different ways with Yud Kiv of K. Yud, Yud with one Aleph in the Vav, and then the Alephs, only Aleph, Yud of Dal, then Hey Aleph, Vav Aleph, Vav, Hey Aleph, and then Hey, Yud of Dal, Hey Hey, Vav. Vav, that's the right, that's the Masmach Pele, Vav, and then Hey, it's all a double. So we have again, the lowest, the bottom level is Masmach Pele, Yud of Dal is always the same, all four. And we have ourselves Hey, and a Vav, and another K, right? So the first Hey, in the lowest level bet, is a Hey and a Hey. The Vav is a Vav and a Vav. And Hey is a Hey and a Hey. Not so hard to remember. Then you have Yud of Dal, and it's all ours. It's going to be Hey Alef. Vav, Alef, Vav. Another Hey Alef. That's Ma. Then you have Av and Sad. Av is all Yud, so that's the highest level, Yud of Dalet. And then you have Hey Yud, Vav Yud Vav, and another Hey Yud. And then Sad is almost the same, Yud of Dalet, Hey Yud, and the other Hey is also Hey Yud. The middle is Vav Av Vav. That's all the four different ones. Then you have the three Ekis. That's Porah. That's Tarpaz. That plus Yud K is Shabbos. So that we explain when you go out of mikvah, when you come out of mikvah, you're supposed to think of that, because now what you're doing is you're taking yourself and you're really transcending nature. That's what you're supposed to think about. What I'm trying to do when I come out of mikvah, when I come out of the tefillah, is to leave. This is also the kavana of the day as well, Saint Kavana. I'm trying to pick up my emotional states, the malchus, and the emotional states and the place where I've got nothing. Pick that up to a place of what's called avanima, a place of deep tshuva and complete surrendering and tranquility of Hashem. That's what my goal is. That's what I'm trying for. That's what I'm trying to do. That's what the mikvah does for me. It purifies me and makes me a clean to be able to get to a totally different place. That's why Shabbos is menucha. Because Shabbos, we get to a place where there's deep surrender. We ask Him to say, no tsar, no pain, no anguish, no difficulty on the day of our rest. We don't want any of that on Shabbos. We don't want that. We want to share. We want to be connected to Hashem. Now, every Shabbos, we have to work and do our best. It's a bit of a struggle. It's a bit of a struggle to keep surrendering on Shabbos. We just have to keep up the good work and keep learning about it and keep up. This can be very difficult. It can be very, very hard. Shabbos can be. Sometimes we find that we feel that Shabbos is the hardest day of the week. During the weekdays, I'm okay. Shabbos is with the family and I have to be. I don't have my instruction. I'm going to stay around. It's just harder. It's harder to access and connect. And that's because there's more opportunity. So I have to really, again, I have to get to a place where I'm just happy with every second I have of Shabbos. Every second I'm just going to stay happy with it. I'm just going to enjoy it and do my best on it. That's it. That's the first thing. Not to try to jump levels. Just to be me. Not to be anybody else. I'm not going to be this with Ara. She loves every second of Shabbos. But I'm not in Ara. No, I try my best. I have better times than the first time. I do my best. That's basically a little bit more about the book. A little bit more about what Shabbos is. That's the show. Okay. So I'm going to do that path of joy.